Yo, this is Swamp Fiends. Today I'm just cleaning out the old mailbox. I have a channel in the Discord where people can leave questions. And today we're just going to clean it out, starting with this one audio question.
Hi, my name's Jude, and I was wondering what advice you had to learn how to play a faction as a whole instead of just learning individual masters. Obviously, being good at each master is kind of a prerequisite for that, but is there something else, other skills and things that you would need to learn to be able to play the faction, all of it, like, as a whole? Or is that even a thing? Or is it just the same as learning to play each master well individually? Whatever thoughts and advice you have about that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, this is a really good question, and it is a thing, for sure. I think the big thing that you have to swallow is that if you want to play a whole faction versus, I feel like the typical player usually focuses on one crew, one to three crews usually. So if you want to play the whole faction, you have to swallow a few pills philosophically. The first being you have to understand that you're going to make micro play mistakes. Like, you know, whenever you're playing and you're trying to improve and you'll get better at the game or whatever, you effectively have to triage where you're putting your time, right? You only have so many hours in the day. You only have so much space on your brain. You got to decide if you're going to focus, you know, on one thing, and you're going to focus on macro interactions and, you know, the best target sexual selection that you can squeeze out of one individual crew. Are you going to try and widen your horizon? But that comes with the consequence that you are going to make micro mistakes. So the first thing I would say is if you're interested in being a faction player, just you get to swallow that pill that you're going to forget shit, you know. The second thing is a little bit more difficult. And I think it's that you... Now, I think I would consider myself a faction player versus an individual crew player. I'm over the past year, I've probably been more of a three crew player. But I think I'm probably more on the faction end of the spectrum. And I think the biggest pill you have to swallow is you have to think, you have to be cool with every model in your faction being situational. And you have to understand that every model has a situation that it is that you can conceive of a situation where every model in your faction is the best pick in this situation. And that can be difficult because it can be rough finding those situations. But you just have to sort of believe that they exist. You don't have time to concern yourself with how would this model be improved? How would this model be, you know, would this model be better if it was a point cheaper? You know, you don't have time to deal with that shit. Or consider that. In the same way that you have to sort of push away these thoughts in your mind that'll be like, you know, why would I bring this when X is typically, generally more efficient? You have to sort of just believe, it really does require a level of faith that each model, each crew, each master has an ideal situation. And then working your way backwards from there, I think, is the goal. Now, of course, like you said, you have to get enough experience with each keyword to play it proficiently and actually figure out where its situational strengths do lie. But you have to really think that that's something that you want to do. That has to be a goal that you really want. I think it's a pretty fun goal because I do spend a lot of my time thinking about lists. So it's fun to think about, like, well, you know, if I do face against, you know, Ma 2, you know, I could see a situation where X master is typically very strong and would be strong into Ma 2 as well. But then when I add the wrinkle of Ma 1 and not knowing if she's going to be there or Ma 2 is going to be there, then, you know, maybe I go down, I go a tier down. I go to a Master C because has B matchups against both versions. You know, you have to want to care about that math. And then you just, I think that's step one. Step two is getting a base level knowledge. And then step three is, you know, diving into those little experiments, those little thought exercises? It's a good question. All right, Nathan from Maryland asks, the dance that you described in... how often do you get that style of game? It seems like it would be rare. Now, Nathan is referring to a previous episode, a previous solo episode I did where I talked about an opinion episode where I basically described the thing I enjoy most about Malifaux is the positioning engagement dance, you know, sort of the jabs, the feelers before the big swings, and how that positioning element and the caginess of the game is a really interesting thought exercise because, well, I think it is, I don't know, I think competition is prediction, and that is the form of prediction that I find engaging. But Nathan asked, so how often do you get that style of game? It seems like it would be rare. I would say I get that style of game about 80% of the time. And the reason being is because I play brick shit house lists that basically force my opponent to play a cagier, not control-y, but like a position-based game. I basically play lists to ensure that my opponent doesn't overextend on turn one and force me to kill their master. I mean, there are plenty of games I've had with Jimmy where I'd be like, why are you doing this? What, are you going to make me kill your master? Why? Like, you know, like, come on, let's play a real game. Let's not play this bullshit where I kill your master, I don't, and then one of us surrenders. And I basically play lists to ensure that I get a 5-turn game. I don't get a 2-turn game. You know, that's why I play Levy. You know, I'm probably going to play some Jeds at 2, some Ivan, you know. Things that if you overextend, I'm just going to remove that model early and then, you know, sort of hit you on the hand with a ruler and force you to play a style of game that I'm more interested in. So, no, I don't think it's very rare. Well, I mean, it occurs, but when it does, it's usually a quick game. And I just want to be clear that when I was describing, like, the dance in that episode, I'm not really referring to, like, having an unengaged game. You know, everyone's had games where there's really no combat. It's mostly just, like, dancing around and scoring points. That's not what I mean. I mean, playing a game where I position, where I can engage with the thought exercise of, like, if I put this model here, it's going to take him one extra walk action to get to it to kill it. And even though it'll die, he's going to be on this flank, which is going to be, you know, it's going to mean he's going to need 2 more walks to get back to relevance on turn 4. So I can let my model die and still engage with, you know, that and still control that model and have it be irrelevant, have it be effectively dead by feeding it one of my own models, for example. That's the sort of dance I mean. I guess more piece trading than like brawling. What's the term in Gilball? I don't remember. Moshing or whatever. I basically want to play a game where every flank is relevant, so that I can pick and choose which battles I care the most about. That's also why I don't care about initiative. Usually, like, I think I typically don't rate, you know, plus to initiative or plus flips to initiative or anything like that, because I frequently play lists and play a game where I will have 3 fronts that are relevant. So if I just lose initiative, then I'll just focus my efforts to a different front. And that's done by playing lists that will completely shit on you if you overcommit to one place. Hopefully that answers that question. Mark Bowling of Fargo asks, what brand of paint do you use and what is your primary painting technique? Layering, two-brush blending, glazing, etc. I wouldn't consider myself an expert painter in you know, the weird realm. I guess I am a prolific painter. I can paint a lot very quickly to a pretty good standard. So maybe I'll answer from that perspective. And from that perspective, I mean, like, I am capable of two-brush blending, but I don't do it often. And I'm learning more about glazing from, like, you know, just watching YouTube videos, looking at angel stuff, which is, like, crazy. But, yeah, it's mostly just layering. I guess if I had to describe a primary painting technique, I do everything assembly line style. Like, even though they're character models, I, like, paint all of the brown on, like, six models at once, you know, all of the blue on six models at once. I find it kind of engaging. I know a lot of people don't like that. So that's a lot of the speed. But I think one thing I learned from, like, better painters than me is to, one, be bold and, like, be confident. You know, practice confidence when you're painting. And, like, don't be afraid to just make lines. Especially with certain textures and stuff like that. So yeah, I mainly do layering because I think it's a way to be bold in a way that often has a way better effect than if you spent a lot of time hemming and hawing over the perfection in your tone or in your blend. You often just end up losing a lot in terms of the overall feel of the model. And the other thing I would say is I ignore things I don't like. If something's on a model and I don't like it, I don't even, like, paint it half the time. If it's, like, a dumb bag that I think is in a weird spot and I think it looks ugly anyway, I'll just, like, basically leave it brown. You know, maybe put one wash, one coat of contrast on it or something, and basically make it where you will never that your eyes cannot be attracted to it because I think it's ugly anyway. So I think that's how I mostly paint a lot quickly. Like, I have every Explorer model painted and have had them painted since, like, 2 weeks after they were all released. All right, Landon from Illinois asks, how many mirror matches have you played and do you feel like they make good or fun games? I think it when you say mirror, I think it's different if you mean faction mirror or master mirror. Faction mirror, I think, is always good and fun. You both understand a decent chunk of the crew, but often you're playing something that you just like more, and it's, I don't know, it could be, if it's not really different than playing against other factions. So I think the real bulk of the interest would be in playing master mirror matches. And are they good and fun games? Super duper depends. Like, before, when I was prepping to the NCGT, I played against myself, Levy v. Levy, like, probably 10 times, because not only did I think it was needed for me for, like, prep, but I also thought it was really engaging. And I think the difference between an engaging mirror matchup and a, like, really boring one is, does your tech counter each other's tech, or does it cancel each other's tech? That's probably not the best way to say that, but in the Levy matchup, for example, you have your irreducible melee swinging for min 4, basically made it where Rusty Alice is a complete liability in the matchup. Basically, whoever gets to Rusty Alice and just swings on her twice and kills her is in a really advantageous position. So you'd be like, okay, well, you get this Defy model and Rusty, who's move 4, who is somewhat of a liability. Why don't I just drop her from the list? Well, if you do that, then the Necropunks and the Scavengers basically don't have an answer, because you don't want to be moving Levy out of the way to deal with those, or wasting Levy shots on those, or trying to get, like, Ashes and Dust chasing a Necropunk is not, like, it's not really a position you want to be in if you don't want to, you know. You don't want Ashes and Dust to be going out of its way to chase a Necropunk. So it's like, well, okay, I need Rusty in here, but I need to protect her more. It's like, okay, well, am I shielding Levy? Am I using my Levy to block his Levy from getting into melee with my Rusty? Well, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. The issue is that you're activating your levy first, potentially, and opening it up to his levy coming into your levy. But then if you're doing that, it could just be that you're trading a levy life for getting his levy out of position and, you know, maybe keeping your Rusty alive. And then you could be like, well, what if levy shoots levy? And it's like, well, I got willpower 7, so that's actually in a good position. Basically, everything within that matchup like counters something else in that matchup. So you're having like, you have like a really engaging back and forth where it's like, okay, well, what if I bring hard to kill levy in this situation? Then my levy is more or less immune to their levy coming in to melee him to death for the most part. And it could be extra annoying, just leeching health. Well, then, you know, you might be in a situation where hiring Barbaros actually becomes the best situation into the levy mirror, just because he's like one of the better models at killing hard to kill levy because he can pulse out the black blood. I don't know. It's really deep and really weird. And it's a fun little mirror because everything sort of counters everything in a way where you are getting to a peace trading situation. The opposite, I would say, is the Terra matchup, which is a matchup I have avoided like the plague, and I've never even played it, but to me it sounds awful because it's your mechanics more kind of cancel each other's mechanics where you don't get to even use them, right? So if I'm burying my Terra models, then I'm just enabling the enemy models to hit them while they're buried. So one of my gimmicks is basically not countered, but just sort of like, why would I use it? So I'm forced to be slower just to avoid your mechanics. And then the whole crew is just sort of like men too incorporeal. So you're in a situation where you cancel each other's mobility, you cancel each other's ability to like pick out a model and kill it. And then you just sort of swing on each other for one damage over and over and over. So you basically just create some sort of weird little slap fight. I mean, I could see a situation where you would say that that's fun and engaging because then it really comes down to who activates Terra in the best way. And because she would be like the real hinge point for both players. And your ability to like score the points and things like that, because the rest of your crew is kind of like nullified. But I don't, to me, that seems like a mirror that would be very boring. Another example of a good mirror played is another Floridian, Ivan versus Ivan. And that's a cool mirror because both Ivans are like one of the more dangerous things to another Ivan because he's whip 6, so both Ivans can summon Brock Inspectors off of each other, and both Ivans' weakness is irreducible damage, so they're summoning, they can both become a homing beacon to summon a Brocken off of each other, which is one of the few things that can kill them. So that game is like really cagey rather than sort of artificially slowed, I would say. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is the most fun mirrors are explosive. Quick lessons to be learned. All right, so that cleans out the mailbox. I wanted to do that because I'm having a child in 4 days, a second child. So I'm going to be busy for the next 3 to 4 months. Jimmy's just starting a new career too. So the pod is not high on either of our priorities, you know, for the time being. Don't expect any new episodes for a while, and hopefully when I get back to it, we'll hit it again with a new energy, shaking off the rust, both in terms of both the pod and playing the game. Thanks for tuning in. Later.
What are you doing in my swamp?